to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Gene and Chris on the Paracast, joined by Bryce Zabel. What if Kennedy had survived? He's got enemies who tried to kill him. He's trying to get reelected. He's got this legislative agenda. He's not having a good time. He's also not very well. All this conspiring to what end, Bryce?
Yeah, I think that the Kennedy administration would have battened down the hatches a little bit from a security point of view. I mean, I think security would have been a very prominent part of every decision, including how they fought the 1964 election. But going back to the issue of the conspirators, somebody put in motion an assassination attempt on the president. In this alternative timeline, it fails. Does that mean they give up? No. It means they continue to cover up their tracks and try to make sure that they themselves are not held accountable. But that doesn't mean they give up on John Kennedy. But I would submit you might look to think of it this way. You may not be able to assassinate a man physically, but there are other ways to assassinate a person. We've got the phrase character assassination. I think that's a pretty valid way to look at this. And the other thing about that is that John Kennedy, more than most presidents, I think, have been living a secret life in both personal and professional ways that would have given his enemies, his mortal enemies, the opportunity to do him harm with his own behavior. His own risky behavior could have been used against him. And that's kind of a world that I explore in depth in Surrounded by Enemies, which, by the way, people want to know more about it, they can go to surroundedbyenemies.com and check that out.
Who would have become his new secret lover? Of course, the Marilyn Monroe relationship and affair is fairly well known about now. And there's some question whether there were other affairs going on. Where do you come down on that particular part of his life? Would he have been able to continue having these secret liaisons with movie stars and office workers, that sort of thing?
Well, it's a good question, Chris, and whether he continued it or not, the answer is I don't think it's much of a debate anymore whether he had been doing this. I mean, I think it's very well established that he had many different lovers, and that his marriage was certainly, whether Jackie wanted it to be an open marriage or not, he certainly acted as if it was. It isn't just Marilyn Monroe. I mean, I think if you started counting up the number of women that Jack Kennedy slept with, it's many, many, many. And I wouldn't say that all of them, you know, this person's private life, I think we're all pretty willing to say that's his life. It's hypocrisy that bothers us sometimes. And also, I think we don't really care about who he might have been sleeping with or wasn't sleeping with prior to becoming president. But when you're president and you're having prostitutes brought into the White House, or when you're sleeping with multiple of the White House interns, or when you're having movie stars or mobster girlfriends or Eastern European women who might be spies brought into the White House, using people that work for the White House to facilitate and enable this behavior. And then you tell the Secret Service that they're not allowed to even check the purses of these people who are being brought to see the president. I think that it becomes a matter of public concern, because these people certainly, at the very minimum, expose the president to blackmail, but they could also kill him. Who's to say there's not a poisoned hypodermic in one of those purses? I mean, a lot of issues really bothered the Secret Service about this behavior. They were concerned that they weren't able to protect the president very well. Now, granted, they didn't do a very good job in Dallas, but they certainly weren't being allowed by the president himself to do a very good job in terms of the people that were the strangers, if you will, that were being brought into the White House. So, listen, he had a lot to account for in terms of the number of women. And I don't say that the number of women is a problem per se, although I think the morality of the time would have been absurdly shocked by the numbers of women, particularly since the nation loved Jackie Kennedy and would have felt, if they'd heard about this, they would have felt very strongly that he'd done her wrong.
I get the impression of what you're telling me, without doing any spoilers on the book very much, that there be a lot of damage control or efforts at damage control to keep things from happening, but that may have made a pretty mixed second term, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think it would. And you know, I appreciate your there is a bit of spoiler in that I do want people to really enjoy this book, and I want them to see the logic of certain things that might have happened. Let me respond to what you just said by telling a personal anecdote. When I said that I've been working on this book, this project, for over 10 years, when I first got the idea, it was about 2003, and one of the things that had sort of made me consider this is when I first got into the television business, I had a mentor who, and I'm not going to bring up his name right now, but it was his last television series that he worked on, and it was my first television series. And so he kind of told me how to produce the TV series, and he was a great guy and a wonderful friend. And he actually had partied with the Rat Pack. He had partied with JFK. He had partied with all these guys. He was at parties, told me one story once that kind of blew me away. He was at a party where it was during the Democratic National Convention of 1960, where JFK had just been nominated or was about to be nominated. Marilyn came to a party at Peter Lawford's house. JFK was there, and Marilyn and JFK disappeared into the back. They came back. She was wearing his shirt, and this was hours later, and obviously they, you know, whatever they were doing. And JFK was actually, I won't go any further. I don't want to compromise the story too much, but he told me things about the behavior that he had observed with JFK that I said, damn, if this was public, I can't see how this would not be a huge problem for the man. So that's kind of where I started to think about this thing. And then I'd worked out the story and I brought it to my friend and said, what do you think of this? And he said, oh, please don't do this. I said, why? And he said, JFK was a great guy. You don't want to do this. You don't want to talk about this stuff. And my friend died last year, sadly. And I felt like I waited long enough not to do it out of deference to his feelings. And now I felt like with the 50th anniversary coming up, it would be okay to talk about it. But I do think that my friend made very real to me the kind of cognitive dissonance that existed in the public mind between the JFK they thought who was their president and the way he actually lived his private life. And I just thought that is, as a dramatist, that's a pretty juicy story.
All right. So talking about the legislative achievements, though, would we have had a Civil Rights Act in 1965? Would we have had Medicare?
Oh, I think certain things. I think that when you talk alternative timelines, there are certain larger events that seem to be that can be missed by a few details and years and so forth. Let's take civil rights. I know that's an important one. The arc of history is in favor of civil rights legislation occurring in the 1960s.
Well, Bobby was really involved.
Yeah.
Bobby was really a prime mover and really in a major player in getting that legislation passed.
Of course. And so I guess my answer is whether it was JFK surviving in my timeline or LBJ taking the reins in our timeline, civil rights legislation would have passed, maybe not in 64 because of the martyr effect, but certainly during the 60s, the essence of civil rights legislation would have been passed. The essence of Medicare would have been passed. Those are just certain issues that probably are moving forward. I think the bigger question about where Kennedy is a pivot point in history might very well be Vietnam. That seems to be very clear that he had certain agendas about Vietnam that he would have addressed in a second term that he was not addressing in a first term that were different from how Lyndon Johnson viewed the war.
We'll get into the implications of the Vietnam War in our next segment. Bryce Zabel is going to tell us what would have happened if Kennedy had survived the assassination attempt. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out, iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth slide into a recession or, at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common-sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full-color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
It's that time of year again, and you know what that means. Cold and flu season. But don't worry. HerbalHealer.com has you and your loved ones covered with our safe and natural products. Cold and flu fighters like beta-glucans, olive leaf antiviral capsules, grapefruit seed extract, HHA 4-herb capsules, elderberry power, and respirate. And don't forget about oregacillin for the lungs, normally $34.95, on sale now for only $25. Vitamin D3, 120-count soft gels, only $9. Whole body and homeopathic detoxes for the lungs, kidneys, liver, lymph, and brain, normally $26.95, now just $20. HerbalHealer.com also offers correspondence courses to teach you how to handle your health naturally. And as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click the Winter Specials button to save on our natural cold and flu fighting products. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
With Gene and Chris in the Paracast, we have Bryce Sable telling us about an alternate timeline, a fascinating journey into what might have been. So the story we heard, I guess the official story, is that Kennedy might have pulled us out of Vietnam, at least insofar as what he was possibly planning to do before he died. But what really happened? What would have happened had he survived?
It's very clear that Kennedy did not believe that you could win a land war in Asia. But he felt that he had already was alienating his military advisors and so forth. He was kind of a peacenik by 1963. He was making peace with the Soviets as best he could. He had the nuclear test ban treaty. So he was not wild about pursuing Vietnam, but he told several people that it would have to wait until his second term. And it seems clear that John Kennedy would have found a way out of going into Vietnam had he been reelected, whereas Lyndon Johnson felt differently on the subject and was more prone to listen to the military advisors about the need to do it. So,
what was Johnson's first act upon becoming president? I think he signed off on some huge helicopter contract with Bell Helicopter.
Oh, he signed off on, yes, he did. He also, remember, the Gulf of Tonkin happened during his term during the election campaign, and he was happy to get the Gulf of Tonkin endorsed from the U.S. Congress. My time frame, though, is slightly different. I feel like this is where we fall into. Remember earlier I had said when you get to alternative histories, that they fall with JFK into two forms. One is the time travel sci-fi version that Stephen King has just done. But the other is kind of the rose-colored glasses where if it's just as if there was an essential continuum of time where JFK runs for office, gets reelected, and continues to pursue, as you guys have been talking about, the legislative agenda. But that's not how I see it. I don't think one bounces back from the investigations into a potential execution of your leader on a public street in broad daylight, as I've said. And so I don't think the rose-colored glasses fit. I think that in a second term, the reverberations, the ripples in the pool from Dallas, Texas, even a failed assassination attempt, would have kept the Kennedy administration somewhat occupied and off balance. Ask yourself this, how concerned was Richard Nixon about his legislative agenda when he was fighting his rearguard action against Watergate? You know, you've got to survive first. So I do think that there would have been a political conflict brewing in 1965 that would have dragged the president into it. And quite likely, he would have had to devote a lot of his time and his associates' time with trying to preserve political viability and survivability. And so it's not as simple as just continuing the timeline as if Dallas didn't happen. To me, Dallas still becomes a watershed moment and has to be dealt with and would have been dealt with in a Kennedy's second term.
So if we look at it that way, at the end of the second term, we're looking at Kennedy's administration's success. Is it all mediocre as a result? As a result of being tied down with these other issues? What about his secret life? Do you depict that at being revealed at some point?
We're getting into definite spoiler territory here.
Okay, I don't want to get too far.
No, that's okay. But I mean, I can, no, unless I'm just kidding, but I'll answer okay. Anything we want to talk about. But I think that your question raises several assumptions. One is that he finishes his term. I mean, that's not necessarily clear. There were issues that could have prevented that. Also, the revelation of his secret life. If you think about revelations, there's a continuum of revelations. On one side, it's full disclosure, and another is limited modified hangout, right? So I think I would just say this. I think it is clear, and I've seen this from top historians, including people that have been Kennedy biographers like Robert Dallek, etc. Most historians today seem to agree that John Kennedy was living one sensational headline away from disaster. Surrounded by enemies, I will simply submit this. I'm willing to investigate what that looked like.
I'm not going to ask you then whether he survives the term or not. But I'll ask you this. Does LBJ become vice president in the second term?
Well, let's talk about LBJ for a minute. Remember what we were talking earlier about, like, when the Kennedy clan assembled on November 23rd, 1963, and they were saying, who's behind this? I think somebody in the room might have said, does Lyndon have something to do with this? The Kennedys hated Lyndon, and they just thought they called him, you know, cornpone at his best. They just thought he was embarrassing. But they also suspected darker things. And remember, Lyndon Johnson, on November 22nd, 1963, really was at his own personal fracture point. He was either probably going to go to jail over the scandals with Bobby Baker and Billy Saul Estes, or he was going to become president. Because if he didn't become president, those investigations that were already underway into LBJ's affairs probably would have ousted him from office. LBJ is a central character in Surrounded by Enemies, What If Kennedy Survived Dallas? That much I'll tell you. And the central issues surrounding LBJ are, number one, from the Kennedy point of view, can we trust the man? Number two, whether we can trust him or not, can we politically keep him on the ballot? And number three, if we think that he shouldn't be on the ballot, how do we get him off the ballot in a way that doesn't do as much damage to us? And I would also say that it was one thing for John Kennedy to think about getting rid of LBJ in our timeline, which he was certainly thinking about doing. In my timeline of Surrounded by Enemies, you remember now, it's the Kennedy administration having just survived Dallas and asking and getting prepared to go to the country and saying, look, that was an aberration. You got to stick with the new frontier. We're going to take this thing forward. And do you really want, you know, a political consideration for the Kennedys then that they wouldn't have had if Dallas had not happened would be, do we just look like the gang that couldn't shoot straight? We're getting shot at literally in Dallas. We're bumping vice presidents off tickets. We're taking the country toward nuclear war, up to the edge of nuclear war and the Cuban Missile Crisis. They'd have had a whole fascinating political way of looking at Lyndon Johnson that we don't see in our current timeline and that Kennedy didn't see on November 21st, 1963. So that's what I think is the most fun about Surrounded by Enemies, is that I really let the reader go with the Kennedys as they work their way through the ripples from Dallas. And that's what was so much fun for me to write. And I think it's also kind of a brain puzzle. I don't expect, by the way, I don't expect you guys to agree with every decision that I make in the book. And I certainly don't expect your readers to agree with every decision. I would just think that most people that read it will say, I can see that point of view and enjoy it from that point of view.
Bryce Abel is author of Surrounded by Enemies, a lot more. What If Kennedy Survived Dallas? How Would History Have Changed? Just to let you know that next week we'll be featuring Colin Andrews, co-author with Cynthia Andrews, of On the Edge of Reality. Lots more great stuff coming up with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code Night Owl. Use the coupon code Night Owl to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Let's take care of your family and get it prepared, and help us take care of our brothers and sisters in arms. From now through Veterans Day on November 11th, FreezeDryGuy.com is offering 10% off everything for active duty, reserve, and retired U.S. military members and their families. No proof necessary, it's on the honor system. In addition, for every purchase you make during this period, we'll make a donation to the Special Operations Warrior Foundation. Since retiring from the Army, the Freeze Dry Guy has been your trusted source for freeze-dried food and dehydrated food, perfect for emergency preparedness and outdoor activities like camping. He's offering 10% off for active, reserve, and retired U.S. military and their families now through Veterans Day, plus donating to the Special Operations Warrior Foundation from every purchase. Call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD, or go to freezedryguy.com, freezedryguy.com.
It's time for a home security quiz. What effective home security device is smaller than a coffee cup, fakes out burglars into thinking someone is home at your house while you're away, plugs into any wall outlet, is recommended by many police departments, and sells for less than $30? Yes, it's fake TV. This year, about one in every 50 U.S. homes will have a break-in, with burglars usually picking the easy target, a dark house that looks like no one is home. Fake TV is a small electronic security device that makes it look like someone is home watching TV by simulating the light from a real TV. Fake TV could be the difference between coming home to a secure house or one that's been ransacked. To get your fake TV for only $29.95 with free shipping, go to faketv.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. That's 877-532-5388 or go to faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
A healthy digestive system supports a healthy immune system. And a healthy immune system protects you against infections and disease. Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse, available at Terraganics.com, is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic and is gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM1 contains three groups of beneficial microbes and enzymes to cleanse and remove toxins, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, and aids in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free, is non-GMO, has all natural certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is never freeze-dried. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com. TerraGanix.com. Or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM1, the raw probiotic.
Hi, my name is Richard Dolan. You're listening to the Paracast.
Bryce Zabel joining us. We're trying to figure out what would have happened if Kennedy had survived Dallas. And it sounds like the wolves would be surrounding him.
Well, that's why it's called Surrounded by Enemies. Listen, I could have written a nice, safe title that just... I could have just written a book called What If Kennedy Lived. It's called Surrounded by Enemies because the truth of the matter in the early 60s, John Kennedy was, in fact, loved by many, many people. But he was also hated by many, many people. And a lot of the many, many people that hated him had guns. I think that the Kennedys would have retreated behind the now secured walls of the White House and thought to themselves that they were surrounded by enemies. And they would have had to think very carefully about every single move they did. So you talk legislative agenda, that's all well and good. You can't implement a legislative agenda if you're afraid that the nation is going to be at risk of a coup, if you think that you're going to be killed. You just have to get security first. And I don't think it's crazy to think that the Kennedys would have thought that Dallas meant that the entire nation was at risk, because remember, I think it's a fascinating Hollywood kind of thing, but let's talk about the movie 7 Days in May. Before it was a movie, it was a book by Fletcher Knebel, and a very popular book, and Kennedy liked it, and he told friends publicly, or not publicly, he told friends privately, that he felt that it could happen, and it would take two or three Bay of Pigs-like events to make it happen, and he was dedicated to not giving his opponents that opportunity, but he was concerned about it. He was so concerned about the scenario of a military takeover in 7 Days in May that he actively encouraged John Frankenheimer to make that movie. And when Frankenheimer and the film crews needed to shoot at the White House, Kennedy actually on a couple of occasions went to another location outside of Washington, D.C., either Hyannisport or to Palm Beach, so that the White House had different security issues around it, and they could issue film permits. Now, that's a guy that wanted to get a message out, and I submit the message he was putting out was, don't let this happen here.
All right, but we're looking at LBJ.
Okay.
And this is the guy that they don't trust. Do you suggest that he was one of the people who might have been in part responsible for the assassination attempt? It just seems so obvious in the real world that he would have been.
Well, let me put it this way. I want to suggest that the scenario you're talking about is dealt with and surrounded by enemies. I don't want to go too much beyond that because I think it's more complex. And if I just answer that question straight out, I'll do an injustice to the book, and I don't think I should do that. But I do think I'd like to just back up a section on that question. It is certainly a new way of thinking about the Kennedy assassination in the last 10 years or so, where more and more people are saying, I wonder if LBJ either was involved in the planning or at least knew it was happening. There are people that talk about that. There's a couple of books. There's more than a couple of books out right now. One of them is from Barr McClellan, who I believe was the father of Scott McClellan, who was the press secretary for President Bush. So there are people talking about it. And certainly Johnson's behavior, when looked at from that framework, is suspicious. I mean, I'll give you one example. There's a photo frame of a larger picture that was cropped in the evidence given to the Warren Commission, but in the uncropped photo, you see JFK's car, and you also see Johnson's car two cars back. It goes JFK's car, Secret Service car, Johnson's car. In Johnson's car, before the shot has caused anyone else to react, is disappeared from the car. You can barely see the man. He is scooting so low in the back seat. Now, why? Well, I mean, the answer was supposedly that he was trying to listen to a walkie-talkie from that Secret Service agent Roy Kellerman had let him listen to. And he'd been doing that during the entire thing. But, you know, to conspiracy-minded, you could say, well, I'll tell you why he was scooting so low that you can't even see him in the car, because he knew the shots were going to fly. So there was a lot of that. I have tried to write a book that is informed by that kind of speculation and interest. That's the way I'd answer that, I guess.
All right, let's just go beyond that a little bit. At the end of his term, does he leave in disgrace? Does he leave it open for his successor to have a fairly successful term? Does Johnson run? Is there somebody else? Does Richard Nixon become successful?
To answer that, Gene, I think you can appreciate this. If I answer that question straight out right now, I've told somebody how the book actually ends, and that I can't do. But I will say this. Everything comes to an end because, you know, Kennedy has to leave the White House one way or the other, and somebody else has to take over. I'm not going to spoil how that my particular alternate history works out, but I do think it's clear that even if the only way, let's answer the alternative. Let's say that Dallas didn't happen. It never happened. And JFK survived and ran for office. I think clearly he probably would have kept things pretty much under control. He would have got a lot of that legislative agenda that you're talking about implemented, and he would have served out his term, and he probably would have batted away a few investigations into his personal life. That's what I would say would be the rose-colored glasses look. I'm not telling that story. I'm telling the story where Dallas did happen, and it sent out those ripples and tied up the Kennedy administration in dealing with the aftermath of those ripples, while also trying to conduct the nation's business, while also trying to keep the private, personal, and professional life private. And that gets a little messy. I mean, politics is messy. And what I think a lot of people, when they consider if Kennedy lived, is they don't consider the mess of politics. They don't consider that historically a lot of second terms don't go so well. Think about Richard Nixon's second term, pretty much a bad case. Lyndon Johnson couldn't even get to a second term. Obama's second term right now looks to be a lot bumpier than you might have thought after his victory. Bill Clinton's second term still had a lot of bumps in it. He got impeached. You know, Bill Clinton got impeached in his second term. So I think the nation has a history where second terms are not simple affairs, where when the voters give a president a second shot, they know that they're doing that because they like the guy or they like his policies, but they're getting a little less in return. They're not getting that era of good feelings when a person is first elected. It's going to get messy. And so I think Kennedy's second term, long way of answering your question, Kennedy's second term would have been probably messier than most, given Dallas and his own personal secrets.
What a world it may or may not have been. Let's look at the real world for a few moments about the Kennedy assassination, and then we'll get into some of our listener questions. And that is, what is your feeling in the real world, forgetting this book for the moment? We hope the book will be an incredible bestseller if it's not already. What do you think in the real world? Whom do you think was responsible for Kennedy's assassination?
Well, I will also add another suspect to answer that question. We were talking earlier about who the Kennedys might have thought was behind this. The one group I left out was also the mob. Remember that the mob had was under attack by Bobby Kennedy during the 50s, and then when he became attorney general, even though supposedly they helped JFK get elected, they were trying to put them all in prison. So there's a lot of hatred by the mob. I think that the assassination is a complex issue. I will say there is a little pushback from people on the Oswald Acted Alone business right now. Having read all that I've read and knowing what I know, I just don't buy it. I'm willing to believe that Oswald possibly fired a weapon. That could have happened, but I don't think he did it by himself, and I think there were a lot of other people involved.
We have Bryce Abel now speculating about who might have done the real event, the real assassination. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I had already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these specials. A 14 by 21 foot shop for under $6,000 or a 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's $5,000. Square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
An e-cig revolution is sweeping across the country. But is yours American-made? Vapriate e-liquid by LeCig is. Manufactured in Arkansas with 100% USA-sourced ingredients. And when you buy American, you support local jobs. Vapriate e-liquid by LeCig is top quality at an affordable price. The very principle that once drove the American economy. Get great taste with no ash, tar, or smoke. You'll be wondering why you didn't make the change to Vapriate e-liquid by LeCig a long time ago. LeCig.com has everything you need, for beginners to the advanced vaping enthusiast, with a wide variety of hardware and also imported e-liquid flavors as well. Plus, LeCig smokes the competition with fast, free, same-day shipping, real people customer service, and a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. Support our country and become a Vapriate at LeCig.com or call 870-525-1440. 870-525-1440. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Howdy folks, Pharmacist Ben here, nutritional pharmacist and skincare chemist. If you've heard me on my daily health and wellness program, The Bright Side, you know I'm on a mission to spread the good news about the power of nutritional supplementation to correct your healthcare challenges and get you feeling vital and healthy once again. I want you to call 877-279-9422 and check out the powerful, affordable line of nutritional products from Youngevity, the ones I take and the ones I recommend. That's 877-279-9422 or go to www.gcnminerals.com. Why simply mask your symptoms with toxic pharmaceutical drugs when you can address causes with vitamins and minerals? I suggest the Healthy Start Pack. It gives your body the essential 90 nutrients it needs. Most people notice a difference right away. You can sign up to help me spread the good news of health and wellness without drugs and maybe make a little money too. And while you're there, don't forget to check out my important video message. That's GCNminerals.com or call 877-279-9422. And remember, friends, good nutrition is good medicine.
This is Kurt 70, author of UFO Mysteries, and you're listening to the Paracast.
On the Paracast, we're looking at the real and fanciful mystery of the Kennedy assassination. Still, after all these years, so compelling. The book is surrounded by enemies. What if Kennedy survived Dallas? All the implications thereof. But now we're focusing on the real world, which is what actually happened. Who did it? Was it just Oswald or what? So you're suggesting here that maybe Oswald was one of those involved, one of the conspirators, but not the only one.
I'm suggesting that I don't buy for a second that Oswald acted alone. That I do not buy. I will say that after 50 years, it is beginning to look like we'll never have that crystal clarity where we say, this guy did it. You know, we're not going to have the moment of Colonel Mustard did it in the drawing room kind of thing. We're not going to have that. But I do think that when people say in this 50th anniversary coverage, well, I guess we'll just never know. I don't buy that. I think we know that it was not Oswald acting alone. That I think we know. I think there were a lot of players in it, a lot of moving parts. And it does seem within the realm of possibility to me that the moving part that should not be ignored is the attempt to use the mob with anti-Castro Cubans to assassinate Castro. That was a rather devilish concoction that the CIA was putting together. So you had CIA, mob, anti-Castro Cubans. All right. These are three groups that we know for a fact were operating together to try to murder Castro. It's not all that much of a stretch of the imagination to think that somehow rogue elements in the CIA working with these people turned the plot around on JFK. I just don't see that as being all that unlikely. As to whether we will ever get to the place where we can say, well, there were three shooters. The first one was here, and the second one was there, and the third one was there, and they were hired by so-and-so, and they met on, you know, November 10th and did a rehearsal, and then I don't think we're going to get that, where everybody reaches consensus about what happened. We're just going to have that overall feeling that it was a dirty job, a dirty job done on the President of the United States. By the way, all this discussion we've had makes it almost sound like I'm down on JFK. I loved JFK. I respected his political ambitions, particularly his work for peace. I think the nation lost a great deal when we lost him. So I am as angry as Oliver Stone or anybody else that a conspiracy was put together to violently remove him from office. I think it's a national tragedy. And the reason it's so important on this 50th anniversary and why we're all paying attention to it and why you're doing this show and why Ira is surrounded by enemies is because it does matter. The fact that we have yet to acknowledge in a serious way that something really dirty and nasty happened on the streets of Dallas, Texas, on November 22nd, 1963, that's a bad thing. And to the extent that we can begin to acknowledge that, it is a better thing for our nation.
So we look at the Warren Commission report, which would have whitewashed the thing anyway because people want closure and they wanted to get the thing out of the way. Then we have the congressional hearings in the late 70s where they say it was a conspiracy, and then it died. Isn't that strange?
Well, did it die? Maybe it died officially. I don't think it's ever died in terms of the relentless, I would call it patriotism of certain researchers who, against all the odds and with all the obstacles thrown in their way, continue to research this. It's sort of, I do find myself admiring those researchers the same way I admire the researchers who have fought to remove the cover-up over Roswell. I mean, I think that there are certain things that are inspirational to have a researcher checking that out. So I agree with your point. The government has kind of thrown up its hands about the whole thing, and it's not likely to do anything different at this point. So that is true. I do believe that if you look at why it's behaved the way it's behaved, there are some explanations. The first explanation is, going back to the Warren Commission, Lyndon Johnson, whether he was involved or wasn't involved, certainly wanted the Warren Commission to kind of wave away the scent of conspiracy. And he literally had gone to various people, including Earl Warren, to try to get them to run the commission and said, look, we can't afford to have people thinking there was a conspiracy from the Soviet Union to take out the president. We'll be having a global nuclear war. So his whole take was, why don't you guys pin this on a lone nut so that we can get on with the nation's business and not go to Armageddon? So I don't know whether that was, I think it was more than that, but at the least it was that. And then even the House committee in the late 70s that said there were probably two gunmen was not clear on who those gunmen were over the course of time. One of their prime pieces of evidence about it, which was the dictabelt recordings from the motorcycle officer. Now that evidence has been attacked. So the people who need to keep this imprecise have continued to do their job over the years to the point that, again, the media, and I don't blame everybody in the media, but certainly those reporters that are catching the Kennedy assassination story for like the first time and they get to go out and spend 2 or 3 days working on it, those are the ones who, let me put it this way. I used to be a CNN correspondent, and there's a kind of coverage that we often did, which is what I called the some say yes, some say no, we say maybe coverage. It's the safest thing. You get one guy who says one thing, you get one guy who says another thing, and then you say, who's really ever going to know?
And the position here is not to take a position, is to basically get involved in the cop-out.
That's right. So where I really lay the blame on this is, where is the national news organization with stature and respectability, if you will, where is that organization that really takes the issues like the Kennedy assassination on, really dig deep into it for a sustained period, put some money into it, put some resources into it, and take a position? Where's that? That's what's been missing over the years. It's the same thing that's been missing on Roswell. Again, whenever anyone covers Roswell, all they say is, well, you know, those goofy UFO buffs. You know, and now it's the same thing with Kennedy. It's like, well, you know, those conspiracy buffs. And all I got to say is, you're not a buff if you're looking into a honest-to-God conspiracy to assassinate the president or to cover up the truth of extraterrestrial life. That doesn't make you a buff. And then the guy who first said that was George Carlin. There's a great rant of his on YouTube where he goes, why do you call these people buffs? And I agree with that. The media has been very complicit in marginalizing people that are trying to do good work on difficult subjects.
All right, but the big question is here, will we ever get an answer with regard to the Kennedy assassination? I mean, we have within
answer.
The government know what happened. How long do they keep it from us?
They will forever. Whatever gets released now, I mean, maybe there's some more stuff to be released, as they say, but the stuff that won't be released is the stuff that's already been burned and shredded and isn't there anymore. I would just argue, though, if we're waiting for the moment when the dots, the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed on who did what, that's not going to come.
Yeah,
but I do believe that we have already achieved, in my view, a compelling case for a conspiracy. So in that regard, I do think that we should see more of that. But one thing I wanted to just point out, this isn't just the big bad government. It is that, but it is also the complicity of the media in not getting deeply into something like this. And this is fascinating. You know, in 1965, there was a book written called The Death of the President by William Manchester. All right. And William Manchester, it was considered a powerfully important book at that time. The Kennedys got a chance to review the manuscript, and a great amount of that was excised. And of what was excised, by agreement between Manchester and the Kennedys, it will not be released until 2067. Now, that has nothing to do with the government. That is an agreement between Manchester and the Kennedys. Now, what I think that material that was excised largely is about the behavior of Lyndon Johnson, et cetera, immediately before, during, and after the assassination. And the Kennedys excised a lot of it. You can ask yourself questions about why they did that, but they did.
I'll tell you what we are going to do right now. I'll tell you what we are going to do.
Yeah.
Not excise the following. We have Bryce Zabel joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
There is only one detox product that stands out above the rest, Micro Plant Powder, and it's available only at hempusa.org. Micro Plant Powder does wonders by removing toxins from the body. Detoxification is a vital process that's extremely important for restoring your health. Micro Plant Powder is available in 8 different formulations, and we can help you choose the one that's perfect for your lifestyle. Micro Plant Powder is 100% chemical-free, non-GMO, anti-inflammatory, gluten-free, and packaged by hand in BPA-free containers. HempUSA.org wants you to be healthy, and Micro Plant Powder is one of the best ways we know to detoxify your body from head to toe, all for about $10 a month. Take back your life and enjoy living again with Micro Plant Powder. Call 888-910-4367. That's 888-910-4367. Micro Plant Powder. Available only at HempUSA.org.